A reading from the Epistle. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our loving Redeemer. Amen. This morning, we are given one of the most famous pieces of Scripture in all of the Bible. You read it very well, Jennifer. A scripture destined to go on cards and mugs and be read at literally millions of wedding ceremonies, though it wasn't exactly to a happily betrothed couple that Paul was writing. So, in fact, when a wedding couple chooses 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for their ceremony, I feel a certain pastoral responsibility to gently tell them, you know that that scripture was written for a bunch of dysfunctional families in an extremely dysfunctional church, right? No, they say, we didn't know, but that's perfect. Here's what we know from Paul's letter about the extreme dysfunction at the church at Corinth to which Paul was writing. They're fighting in the pews during church and out by the stables afterwards. They've been split into factions over former and current pastors. They're taking each other to court. They're taking each other's spouses and partners. And the rich folk are coming early, eating all of the communion bread and getting drunk on its wine, leaving nothing for the poor folk who aren't even off of work yet. But other than that, it's a great church to join. And we'd love to have you as a member. Church is hard. Community is hard. And that is why Bonhoeffer said somewhere that the person who loves the dream of community, of church, will destroy community, church. Church is not about loving a dream. It's not about loving an ideal. It's about loving people, warm and cold-blooded, hot-tempered, salty, petty, impatient, prone to make mistakes, small and also colossal, and chronically late for every single committee meeting on Zoom. That's me. And this is church. And it ain't easy. Love ain't easy. It ain't a walk in the park or a dozen roses or that delightful little period of time called the honeymoon when everything is hunky-dory and you haven't yet had to have the talk about the budget. That is church. Church is committees and budgets and people with personalities and interests very different from one another, and a membership of one singular body made up of a whole lot of very dissimilar and sometimes very unique parts. And they all belong, Paul says. And they have to learn to live with one another. And that to me is love. Learning to live with and for one another. How do we do it? Paul gives some practical advice. Loving each other requires patience, he says. It requires kindness. No part or parts should consider themselves as more important than any or all of the others. Bullying behavior is unacceptable. Pettiness has no place. The truth, as far as we know it, will be told as far as we can tell it. Love bears all things, Paul says. That does not mean that it tolerates all things. The literal meaning of the word is of the word bear means to cover or to protect or to thatch like a roof. Sometimes the word is translated secret. But we know that secrets in a church can destroy the church. Misbehavior and abuse thrive in cultures of secrecy. But I don't think that it's secrecy that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about discretion. He's talking about protection. He's talking about protecting and guarding and caring for others, especially, Paul says in verse 22 of the preceding chapter, the weaker and most vulnerable members of the community. These are love's paramount concern, he says. Love believes all things, he writes. For me, that means it listens to the experiences of others. And it believes what others say their experience is. It means listening to how one describes themselves as using their preferred pronouns. It means listening to and believing their stories, what has happened to them, how they've been harmed, what they say that they need from us, what they say they need in order to be respected and included. Love hopes all things, Paul says. This to me means we see others not as they are always, but as they could be in Christ. We see others in Christ and as Christ. And we see the world as Christ sees the world. We see the world just and reconciled and at one with itself. That means we never quit believing in and working towards the beloved community. And we never, ever give up on the redemption of any person or people or nation of people. We don't give up on our own nation's redemption. Hope won't let us go there. And neither will love. Love endures, Paul says. It's tenacious. It's resilient. It's defiant. And it's full of a kind of grace and grit that is made of the same stern stuff Christ embodied in the life of his little church and the death of his great big cross. Love endures all things, and it never ends. It never gives up on itself. The early fathers and mothers referred to church as a school of love. I have a pastor friend who once told me that if that is true, then she thinks she's flunking the course of study. Love is hard. And the coursework requires a degree in humility along the way. That is why Paul reminds us that we see through a glass darkly. We have to understand that we see dimly, and that we know barely, and that in many cases we may well be wrong, and that no one has gone all around God and taken pictures. We are not omniscient. We know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. And probably, there are still a lot of surprises yet to come. So then, I think the word is to us that we need to be gentle with one another and gentle with ourselves and recognize that most of us are doing the very best that we can with all that we know and all that we hold. And we're all at the end going to need a lot of grace to make it. Reinhold Niebuhr once wrote, No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as it is from our own standpoint. Therefore, he says, in the end, we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. We need a lot of love and a lot of forgiveness and a lot of grace with each other in life and in church. Not anger or suspicion, not hostility and mean-spiritedness and contempt, not holding grudges, but love and grace and forgiveness. That is what you have to have in a church. And it's what Paul calls the more excellent way. My good friend, mentor, and confidant, Kyle Childress, has been in this pastoring business for about 40 years now. Early on in his ministry, there was a fight in his first little church over integration, and one lady stormed out at the idea of blacks being admitted into the baptistry. Young Pastor Kyle drove out to see the woman, knocked on the front door, and was met by the unmistakable greeting of both barrels of a shotgun peering back at him through the screen door. That's when Kyle turned the other cheek, as they say, and got the heck off the woman's property. A few months later, Kyle had the chance to meet with Ernest Campbell, who was then pastor of Riverside Church in New York City. Kyle told him what had happened, and Ernest said to him, "Kyle, remember what the Apostle Paul told the congregation at Corinth. He did not tell them to straighten up or repent. He said, I have for you a more excellent way. Go back to your church and show them the more excellent way of Christ." Love ain't simple. Love ain't easy. Love is hard, and it's hard scrabble, and it always tests our mettle, proves that we're human. Only God is love, and we are not. But we are beloved. You and me and us and them too. Always them too. And we have to remember that, even in the Lord's house. I've been at this church work for nearly 20 years now. And I'm grateful for those who modeled for me the more excellent way. People like Kyle, Reverend Gail, who showed me how to love people even when they don't love you back. And my own dear boyhood pastor, Hardy, who taught me, don't try to make friends with a mad dog. But who also taught me that a lot of mad dogs were at one time wounded pups. And maybe we all were. Maybe we all are. All wounded, all sinful, all broken and blind in some kind of way And it's Christ's love which covers over a multitude of our sins and heals our souls and puts the parts back together as good as can be. 22 years after Kyle had that shotgun shoved in his face, he went back for a funeral to that little church, and that now old woman was still there in the congregation. After the graveside service, they met out on the gravel road across from the cemetery, and she said, "My granddaughters always loved you." That was as close, Kyle said, to reconciliation as she could get. And he was good with it. And I'd be good with it too, if we as church and as God's children could get as close to reconciliation as we can and as far across that gravelly road together as love will allow. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is hard. And love is the more excellent way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and all of God's beloved people then said, Amen.